Welcome back to the current series on Exodus. It is a great book. It's a great series, at least in my opinion, because I'm getting a ton out of it personally. I hope you are as well. It's called The Journey, and the book of Exodus is all about really Moses and the nation of Israel and how God calls out to Moses and calls him to be a mouthpiece, really to be a deliverer for the nation of Israel that's been in slavery in the nation of Egypt for 430 years. And God speaks to Moses, says, go and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And Moses says, yeah, I think you got the wrong guy. And he has to overcome this insecurity. Then he ultimately obeys God and he goes. And as he confronts the oppressor, God shows up miracle time after miracle time. And there's these God moments all through the book of Exodus. And really, those God moments are so profound in our lives when we recognize that we too have a call in our life and that we're called to speak of God's goodness, God's mercy, and the reality that he has freedom for others and for us. And when we embrace that call, just like Moses, there's miracles that we see as we're on the journey, as we're trusting God. There's mountaintop moments. And really, God will use us to bring people from the place of bondage and oppression and being a prisoner, the place of freedom. And he'll use us, he'll use you to make people beautiful. That's really the first 3 weeks of the series. But I love the book of Exodus because it's real life. Like Moses has a call in his life, but he doesn't think he's good enough. And yet God uses him anyway. And there are these huge miracles that take place. And then the whole nation of Israel sees God's miraculous power. They actually hear his voice. And yet they really mess things up. They really, really mess things up. And that's what we're looking at today in chapter 32. If there's a title to this message, it would be like Overcoming Failure, because the nation of Israel, fails massively. And so does Moses. Why is this so important? Why is this message so important? Because if Moses can fail, if a people who have seen the sea part and they get to walk through on dry ground and the enemy chasing them swallowed up by that sea, all at the word of God, and they then hear God's word, like God speaking physically at the base of a mountain while they're looking up and they see smoke on the mountain. If Moses, who was used by God, saw the miracles, if the people of God who saw all these miracles still mess it up and they still fail massively, and yet God still uses them? That's hope. That's hope for you, and that's hope for me. So we're going to look at Exodus chapter 32. In Exodus chapter 32, we've just seen, they're at the base of the mountain where they heard God's voice, the people did, where the 70 elders and the priests went up to the top of the mountain and had a meal with God, where Moses was speaking face to face with God. He gave him the Ten Commandments. He told them how to live. Like, it's right after this. In fact, Moses is still up on the mountain and he's been there for 40 days. And this is where we pick up the story. So here it is. It says in Exodus 32, it says, when the people saw how long it was taking Moses to come back down the mountain, they gathered around Aaron, Moses' brother, also his right-hand guy. Come on, they said, make us some gods who can lead us. We don't know what happened to this fellow Moses. It had only been a month and 10 days. We don't know what happened to this fellow Moses who brought us here from the land of Egypt. So Aaron said, you would think he would say, you're really going to leave everything that Moses said? Like, you're going to turn your back on him? Nope. Instead, he says this, take the gold rings from the ears of your wives and sons and daughters and bring them to me. And all the people took the gold rings from their ears and brought them to Aaron. Then Aaron took the gold, melted it down, molded it into the shape of a calf, a baby cow, a calf. He takes all the gold and makes a cow, a baby cow out of it. And when the people saw the baby cow, because after he made the baby cow, they exclaimed, O Israel, these are the gods who brought you out of the land of Egypt. They're still watching the smoke up on the mountain. They've already heard the voice of God. They watched the sea part. They watched the plagues take place. All of this happened within months, like 2.5, 3 months. And they've forgotten all of that. And now they're claiming that the God who took them out of this bondage is a gold baby cow that Moses' brother Aaron made. After he told them, bring me all the gold, then he makes the cow. Oh, these are the gods. And we look at that and go, these people are crazy. But how many times have we done the same thing? How many times have we said, wow, man, it's a good thing. It's a good thing I nailed that interview. I got the job, man. Whoa, come on. Look in the mirror and go, you're really that good, aren't you? Or you attribute the good things in your life to something other than God's graciousness and goodness. We do it all the time. Aaron saw how excited the people were, so he built an altar in front of the calf. Then he announced, this is what's crazy. Then he announced, tomorrow will be a festival to the Lord. Wait, what? You just made an idol, like literally this calf out of gold, and said, this is the God that brought you out of bondage. And then you see how excited people are about that. So you build an altar to sacrifice to this gold statue. And then after that, you're like, tomorrow we're going to have a big festival. Oh, it's to the Lord. The reality is lots of people mix idolatry and God. Anything that we ascribe credit to other than the Lord, like we can, like it is okay to go, you know what? Like I'm a musician, like I learned that song. But I know that's the Lord that gave me the ability. You know, they walked out of Egypt. They walked, it's a long walk. This is hundreds of miles over a course of time. But it was God that brought them through, brought them out of that slavery. Like we have our part. And then we don't have to deny our part, but we should never take either the credit for what God has done or give that credit to somebody else. And this is what they're doing. But then there's this weird mix of like Aaron saying, yeah, here's the cow. Like let's sacrifice to this cow, but we're also going to have a festival to the Lord. Wow. The people got up early the next morning to sacrifice burnt offerings and peace offerings. After this, they celebrated with feasting and drinking, and they indulged in pagan revelry. Imagine the worst thing of revelry. That's what they were doing. And so God gets wind of it. Obviously, he sees everything all the time, but he tells Moses, hey, Moses, you need to go down and deal with the people because they have completely lost their mind. They've forgotten. You can read it. I hope you're reading in the McShane plan because you'll be at this chapter in just a couple weeks. And God tells Moses, Moses, you need to come down from the mountain. You got to go deal with these people. And there's this whole interaction between Moses and God, which is really kind of cool. And God's pretty upset. And Moses is like, nah, come on. Which is an interesting dynamic. But then Moses goes down and he sees the people. And it's this drunken party with totally immoral behavior, totally not just inappropriate, very immoral behavior that's taking place. And there's this weird mix of a festival to the Lord. So they've got God in it, but they're doing crazy stuff. Sounds like a lot of our society that even Christians that say, oh, I love the Lord, but they're not acting like it. And they're certainly not honoring him. And their actions are not moral even. This is fairly common, unfortunately. But Moses has been sent down the mountain by God. Go check this out. And when Moses sees the people in verses 19 and 20 of chapter 32, it says, and now Joshua is with him. It says, when they came near the camp, Moses saw the calf and the dancing, and he burned with anger. He had the Ten Commandments with him, where God with his own finger had chiseled out the Ten Commandments. And it says, he threw the stone tablets to the ground, smashing them at the foot of the mountain. So the people messed up. What was their mess up? Their mess up was impatience. men weren't willing to wait. Like, whatever happened to Moses? Man, he's been up there forever. I guess God's killed him or he's abandoned us, but we're going to have to make our own way. When we say, okay, God, I don't know where you're at. I'm going to have to make my own way. Even if you still say, Lord, I'm following you, but you're making your own way, you're doing the exact same thing. And listen, we've probably all done it. Like, this is the people, they're not just impatient. They've forgotten. They've forgotten how good God was. They don't remember clearly what God's done and what he took them out of. And so now they're like, man, this is taking forever. And Lord, like, I still want to do what you want to do, I guess, but like, I really want to do things my way. And they do. And God's upset with them, understandably. And so is Moses. Their impatience, their forgetfulness, their lack of gratitude and remembering. By the way, remembering is a huge theme through the Bible that over and over we're called to remember. Remember what God's done. Remember his goodness. Remember how gracious he is to us. Remember that he really is slow to anger, but there's some things that anger him. And when we say, you know what, I'm going to make my own way, and we forget his, that's not a good thing. It's just not a good thing at all. And so they messed up. Their failure was impatience, idolatry, lack of gratitude. They forgot. They did their own thing. Now, I'm just saying, I relate to that because I think it's easier to do our own thing than we realize. But Moses then comes down. He sees all the dancing and all the craziness, the festival to the Lord that really was just an opportunity to act like a fool, get drunk, and carouse. And he comes down and he sees how bad they're being and he gets so angry. Now, Moses failed too. He gets so angry. The very tablets that God gave him, that God himself inscribed the Ten Commandments on, he goes, rah, and he smashes them. He smashes the work of God in his life because of what other people are doing. That's messed up too. I'll be honest, I'm guilty of both, and you probably are as well, where you fail to remain patient and remember God's goodness and stay the course, and instead you make your own. And then there's been other times when, like, I've been with God and I'm on a mountaintop moment and look at these people, and then you throw down the work of God in your life because you're judging the other person, realizing you may be right, but let me just say that I'm responsible for my actions. They both messed up big time. Idolatry, immorality, ingratitude, that was the people. And then Moses, letting his anger control him, destroying the work of God in his life in a fit of rage because he was led by his feelings rather than his purpose and his calling. He forgot that in that moment. He forgot too. And he gave in to his emotions. And he did something stupid. I love that because it says that when he came near to the camp, he saw the calf and the dancing. He burned with anger. He threw the stone tablets to the ground, smashing them at the foot of the mountain. He took the calf that they had made. I love this part. I don't know why. Because it's like Moses is so mad. Like, it's staying with him, you know? You ever had that? He took the calf they had made and he burned it. Then he ground it into powder. So he melts down the gold calf, grinds it up into powder. That's a process, people. That's hard. That's hard work. I can't believe they did this. I gotta die, die, die. Grinds it into powder, throws it into the water, and then he forces everybody to drink the nasty powder, gold powder water. Because when you live by your emotions and you are angry at others, it's going to be a lot of work for you and it's going to leave a bad taste in everybody else's mouth. Not a whole lot accomplished. They failed miserably. The people failed. Moses failed. Right at the foot of the mountain where Moses actually had to come down from a mountaintop experience with God, got angry and blew it. They all blew it. And though God could have, he didn't zap them with a bolt of lightning and destroy them. Maybe he should have. but he didn't. And in fact, in chapter 33, we see, I really think, just some really simple steps that we can take to overcome the failures in our life. And it's the same steps that Moses and the people took. So how do we overcome failure? Exodus 33:1, the Lord said to Moses, "Get going, you and the people you brought up from the land of Egypt. Go to the land I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I told them, I'll give this land to your descendants." How do we overcome those failures? We keep going. We keep going to the place that God's promised us. Listen, your failure, I want you to realize that the people had all gotten drunk, made an idol, slept around. It was nasty. Like, it was bad. Moses smashed the tablets that God had made, probably cursed everybody. I don't know, in my mind, he's not saying nice things to the people. Was so angry that he took a long time to melt down the calf, grind it up. You're going to drink it. I mean, this is serious stuff. And at the end of that, you would think that the people would go, "We messed up." They did. And there was judgment and all of that. You can read, you'll see. And Moses messed up, and he knows that. But God spoke to him again, because your failure doesn't have to define you. And God spoke to them again, said to Moses, "Get going, you and the people." Because there is redemption. There is forgiveness. And there is a fresh start. Even after massive failure, there's a fresh start if you have a heart for God to hear his whisper that's calling you to keep going to the place of promise. You got to know God's still calling you. You got to know that God's still with you. In fact, in Exodus 33:14, the Lord says, "I will personally go with you, Moses, and I will give you rest. Everything will be fine for you." You've got to know that God's still calling you. Even if you've messed up big time, there's still a call on your life. God is still with you. Verse 17, the Lord replied to Moses, "I will indeed do what you've asked, for I look favorably on you." God, Moses said, "God, please be with me. Please be with all these people." God says, "I'll do that. I will indeed do what you've asked for. And I look favorably on you, and I know you by name." Keep going, even if you've messed up, because God's still calling to you. His call is still on your life. He knows you. He knows you by name, and he's still with you. It's huge. That's the first step in overcoming failure. Then look at verse 7. We see this, that after this massive failure, Moses was intentional in taking time to meet with God. He actually sets up a space to meet with God. It's called the tent of meeting. Look at verses 7 through 11. It says, "It was Moses' practice to take the tent of meeting and set it up some distance from the camp. And everyone who wanted to make a request of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside of the camp." How do you overcome failure? First, you have to keep going. But secondly, you have to make the space and the time to meet with God. There is no shortcut to that. So yeah, failure is common to great men and women of God, to whole people of God who have been right at the place of deliverance. Shortly after that deliverance, they mess up big time. And after they do, God still calls them to keep going, still says, "I'm with you," still says, "I know you." But on their end, they had to believe that. That's a faith issue. And then they had to be intentional in seeking God. Set up the space and the place and the time to meet with God. It says, "It was Moses' practice." You got to make it your practice. Get up and discipline yourself to seek the Lord. Can I tell you what's so cool about reading a Bible plan in the McShane Bible reading plan in the YouVersion app? Is that there's little check marks when you've read. And you can do it ritualistically, but I hope you do it because you're getting to know God better. And each check mark is, "I understand his will for my life a little more. I understand the heart of God a little more." And when I hit that little circle and it checks it, That's my heart's prayer. Lord, I want to know you more. And then, I'm just going to be honest, it helps keep me accountable. I've never done it with other people, but there's like almost 100 people just on my plan alone. And people see my checks. And it reminds me how important it is that I hear from the Lord. I set up a place. I make it a practice to meet with him. Pretty cool. God will show up, by the way. He shows up. And here's the last thing. How do we overcome failure? Keep going. Keep seeking God. Make a space and a place and a time for him. But the biggest thing is make right what you did wrong. Make it right. Make it right. Chapter 34, we see this. Moses, you know, he destroyed the tablets, but God calls out and says, the Lord told Moses, chisel out two stone tablets like the first ones. I will write on them the same words that were on the tablets you smashed. You see, when we mess things up, the tactic of the enemy is to get us to think that it's done, that God's never going to show back up like that. But if we keep going and we keep spending time with him, he'll do it again. He'll do it again. And he does that with Moses. Be ready in the morning to climb up Mount Sinai. Present yourself to me on the top of the mountain. Then he says, verse 4, it says, so Moses chiseled out the two tablets of stone like the first ones. Then he went up on the mountain and God did it again. With a fresh start, we know that God is at work. But most people, once they really mess up, they really struggle with believing that there's a fresh start. The greatest prophet in all of the Bible is Moses. And he's also the guy who had probably one of the biggest mess ups. And God still used him. And the people that denied that it was God who delivered them, they were wrong. They paid the price for being wrong. But God still had a purpose and a plan for those that were willing to follow him, to keep going, make a place with him, for him, seek him, hear from him. And in that, they had the opportunity to make right what they had done wrong. Because if there's a theme through the Bible, it's this. Here's the theme from Genesis to Revelation. It's forgiveness and redemption. God forgives us. We just have to be willing to go to him and say, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm going to keep going. Forgive me. And then he takes all of that filth and that junk. It's like, it's kind of like if you've ever gotten your hands muddy. Like, what am I going to do with this? You got to get them in the water. And the cleansing stream of God's forgiveness is what washes away all the filth of the junk that we've done. Just because you failed doesn't mean that it's final. Failure is never final with God. It's only final if you believe that it is. But if you listen to him, listen to his voice and trust him, he'll give you a fresh start. I pray that that's you today, and maybe you need that. So how do you do that? The same thing that Moses and the people did. You recognize you're wrong. It's sin. You turn from it, and you ask God for his forgiveness. Let me do that with you right now. This is how you do it. It's this simple, and maybe you need to pray this prayer. It's like this. Just pray with me. Dear Jesus, I recognize my wrong. I turn from my sin. I turn to you. I receive your forgiveness. I'm yours. Thank you for that, Jesus. It's in your name I pray. Amen. Listen, if that's you and you prayed that prayer, wow, I'm so excited for you. I want to see you grow in your walk with God. So listen, let us know. Click on the link in the description of this video. Fill out the Connect card. Let us know what God's doing so we can connect you with resources and relationships to help you grow. And I just pray that you all of you who are listening to me, that you continue on the journey of faith that God has for you, because he'll bring you to an awesome place. And through you, God will bring lots of people to know him out of bondage, into freedom, into the place of promise. Keep going. Love you guys. God bless.